Joining us by phone this morning is Crystal Boyd. She's Minnesota Biological Survey's bee researcher. Good morning, Crystal.
Well, hi, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Well, I read this very interesting piece that I got from the Department of Natural Resources about native bees and a number of other things, and I didn't know almost all that you wrote about. So not that we've got that much time, but let's talk about native bees.
Sure. Well, we have about 350 or 400 species of native bees in Minnesota, which is a lot.
That's a lot of bees.
It's a lot to keep track of. And I'll start by saying that native bees are a little different than honeybees. Honeybees are just one species that was brought over from Europe in the 1600s.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, and honeybees are fascinating. They're amazing creatures, and they do things a little differently than our native bees. Most of our native bees are solitary, so it's just one adult that takes care of the nest. Mm-hmm. And that's different from a big hive of honeybees.
Well, what about bumblebees? Are they native?
Yeah, bumblebees are native. We have about 17 species. So you can see with insects, the numbers get huge really fast.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not sure I can tell a bumblebee from a honeybee, but I think they're bigger, aren't they?
They are. They're a little bigger, and they're fuzzy.
I was going to say fuzzy, right? Well, one of the things I learned from the piece that you wrote, approximately 70% of native bee species nest underground?
Yeah, that's right. 70% are underground. And most of them will spend the winter that way, either as a pupa or an adult. So they spend the winter underground. And the other 30% are nesting in cavities. So maybe the hole inside a twig or in between some cracks in masonry inside a wall. And they just hang out there for the winter.
So, and they do that alone, pretty much, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Just them and maybe their brothers and sisters if they're in that cavity.
Mm-hmm.
They're laid in a series, so maybe 6 or 8 eggs in that series, and all of them are overwintering together.
Well, what about Cook County? I mean, we have some pretty fierce winters. Do we have any native bees around here?
Well, you do. So I was over at the University of Minnesota Insect Museum yesterday.
Okay. Oh, boy. Okay, didn't know there was such a place.
They do, and it's like a library of specimens. So I was looking at the bee specimens, and I found 34 species from Cook County.
Really?
Yeah, and I expect that there's a lot more. So we don't know a whole lot about native bees in Minnesota. And so I expect as I do this research, I'll come up with a lot more species.
Well, yeah, that's part of what the Biological Survey does, is kind of take, well, I want to say catalog, but certainly find out just about everything you can about the biology and here in the state. But now, the bees in Minnesota or even in Cook County, are they big, they small, they're various? How would I know what I'm looking at?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're really all over the board. So the bumblebees that we talked about, those are pretty big, you know, maybe an inch or a little smaller and pretty colorful.
Mm-hmm.
So those are easier to recognize. But they go all the way down to about the size of a grain of rice, some of our really little bees. And so they're hard to tell apart from flies or other insects that are out there.
Now, how do I know if they're going to bite me or not?
That's a good question. Most of them don't want to. So those solitary bees, if they're aggressive towards you, they could get squished, and then there's no one else to take care of their nest.
Oh.
So the solitary ones really don't want to be aggressive. But the social ones, like the honeybees, they can afford to be aggressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have all their sisters back home who would take care of the hive if they got squished.
Well, now that you're talking about these various sizes of bees, now we also have hornets and wasps, and they're not bees.
That's correct. They're related, but they're not bees.
Now, how can I tell? Now, I'll bet you a dime it's got something to do with the thorax and the head area, right?
You're right. A little bit. The hornets are usually longer, so more of a longer body, and they're not as fuzzy, so they're a little shinier.
Okay.
Bees have these fuzzy bodies so they can collect pollen, and they eat the pollen. Bees are vegetarians, but wasps are carnivores, so they don't need those fuzzy bodies to collect pollen.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that's pretty. No, speaking of pollinating, I read a piece recently that there's some concern here in Minnesota, as the number of flowering plants declines in agricultural areas because farmers are raising corn and soybeans, and those do not attract pollinating insects. So what's the role of the native bees? Now, I mean, we all know about honeybees, but what about, and bumblebees too, for that matter, but what about native bees in terms of pollination? They're pollinators too, right?
They're absolutely. They're incredibly important pollinators. They were the original pollinators for Minnesota. Before honeybees even got here, they were sustaining our blueberries and pumpkins and our squash. So native bees and native plants are often tied together in a close relationship. They evolve together, so they rely on each other. And then honeybees can come in and either pollinate crops or they can adapt to our native plants. And some of our native bees can adapt to non-native plants, so they can adapt to some crops, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm. So what about the general habitat loss? Is that a big deal for native bees?
Absolutely. It's a real challenge. A lot of my work happens on the prairie where it's especially apparent. There's just nothing left along the roadsides, and crops go from crop to crop. There's nothing in between. So they're missing out on all those native plants that they used to use for food. But they're also missing out on places to nest. If we till all of the land, there's no place for those bees to go underground and make a nest.
So we have another one of these cavity things like we do with little owls and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yep. You can make a little cavity nesting bee block, just a block of wood with some holes drilled in it, and bees that fly by will recognize it as a good place to move in.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah.
Huh. Say, well, tell me, now, here in Cook County, I know that there are a number of people have said, although I haven't had the experience, that there are that some of these bees that you find in the ground maybe aren't bees. Aren't there some kind of wasp that, if you step on it, they sting?
Yeah. And those can be more aggressive, some of those ground-nesting wasps.
Uh-huh.
If you've ever seen one of the paper nests that hang from a tree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tear-shaped and papery. Some wasps build the same thing underground. So if you step on top of that, it shakes the ground and they get agitated. And then they'll come out and greet you.
Uh-oh. So now, over the winter, what are you going to be doing?
Oh, gosh, it is so busy. So I collect some bees in the summer, and then I process those vouchers during the winter. And eventually those vouchers go to the University of Minnesota. So I'm going to be pinning and labeling bees, identifying bees, and planning for my work next year.
Yeah, which is going to be out on the prairies, mostly.
Yep. My collecting is on the prairies, but then I'm creating a statewide species list. So that would include Cook County and what bees you would have there.
Well, I tell you what, Crystal, let's plan to get together sometime this winter as you're going through this and talk about what your progress is, what you're finding, if you found anything you didn't think we had. And also maybe, with 35 or so species of bees here, we haven't got time to go over every one of them, but maybe something interesting about what we've got here in Cook County so that when summer starts coming along, we can start looking out for some of these. One last question. What can we do as good stewards of the land to encourage our native bees? Anything
That's
we can
a great
plant?
Question. Because there's a lot of really simple things we can do in our backyard. Just plant flowers. If you plant local native wildflowers, you're providing a buffet for those bees.
Okay. Well, I got flowers in my yard. I'll do what I can.
Good.
Okay. We've been speaking with Crystal Boyd. She's the Minnesota Biological Survey bee researcher, and we'll talk again soon. But I think that with all of the discussion of pollinating insects and the importance of it and to our food production, plus, of course, the aesthetics of the area, I think it's a good thing to keep following. So we'll stay in touch, Crystal.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you very much.
Bye.